soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. As everybody knows, on Friday, it is the big one, the United States against Mexico. For sure, Tata Martino is not going to want to lose for a third consecutive time to the United States after the Nations League and Gold Cup. It's a big one on Friday, and everybody gearing up for it. By the way, this next interview is going to be brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar. FM Kitchen and Bar, two locations, one near Montrose and Westheimer, right next to the Velvet Taco. That's the kind of Montrose area one, and then you go to the one that's north of Washington on Shepherd. FM Kitchen and Bar, great cocktails. Voted the best burger in Houston. Get over there. It's got the feel of a beer garden as well. A lot of picnic tables. You can bring your dog, the family. Plus, they've got great weekend brunches. FM Kitchen and Bar. They bring us Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer Now. Great friend of the show. Brian, thank you very much for coming on tonight in a very, very big week for U.S. and Mexico soccer fans.
Yeah, well, indeed. Thank you for having me on, and greetings from Morristown, New Jersey. I know you know it well.
We love the Garden State. Friday, it's the U.S.-Mexico. It's in Cincinnati. It's on ESPN2, 8 o'clock Central Time, and it's a big one. Okay, so let's talk about this. 1-2 in qualifying standings for these two teams. What are some general observations from you, Brian, heading into Friday?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bunch of positions up for grabs with the U.S. team. We don't know the injury status of Christian Pulisic and how match fit he is, ready to go. A lot of pressures on Ricardo Pepi at just 18 years old to be the guy now. I mean, because Berhalter said he's going to start a lot of he's going to play a significant role this window. Central defense, there's some questions. You don't know who's going to start in goal. I mean, it could be Matt, it could be Zach, Stefan. It's very interesting team, because I think there's some that's known, but there's a lot that's unknown, and that doesn't make it any easier for Mexico to prepare.
All right, Brian Sciarretta, American Soccer Now. Let's start in goal, because you just mentioned that with Matt Turner. A lot of people thinking he's going to get the nod. Zach Steffen, you might say, is a bit better with his feet. You got Sean Johnson as the third goalkeeper. Who do you think gets the start? Turner's coming off a spectacular season for the most part with the New England Revolution.
You know, it's a coin flip. I was actually just speaking with Brad Friedel before this for an interview, and he doesn't even know. You know, he has no inclination, but he says there's no wrong choices. I kind of think it's going to revert back to Stefan, because there's a trust factor there between Berhalter and Stefan going back to the club days. But, you know, I don't have a high degree of confidence in that. That's just a guess, because I think, Matt's obviously done some big things with the national team, starting back to the summer with the Gold Cup win.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he earn some trust with what he did in the Gold Cup?
Oh, absolutely. I think the fact that, Zach got some minutes between the last international window and this one was with Man City, and I think that helped. And the fact that he started at that home game against Costa Rica, following a loss from the U.S. team, I don't know. I think there's a longstanding relationship there, and I think Stefan, it wouldn't surprise me if they go with him just for some distribution out of the back.
Yeah, I think that's probably, if it's about the feet, he probably gets the edge over Matt Turner. But isn't this great, though, that we're sitting here talking about a guy that's a regular starter in Major League Soccer, and he's potentially going to get the nod over a guy that's at Man City in Zach Steffen. And a lot of this comes into playing time that guys have had recently, form, injury. But I think it's incredible that we're kind of sitting here talking about that when in the past it would have been, oh, you know, the guy from Europe gets the start.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's a good baseline comparison there with Zach. I mean, he was in Major League Soccer for so long, and the only time he's been a starter in Europe was really only a half season 2 years ago at Fortuna Düsseldorf on loan. That's really it. You can kind of see the there's been a long standing of riding the bench for him, and that makes him a mystery, and it's not really a healthy thing for goalkeepers to be sitting on the bench. I mean, you know, the bench at Man City is just as good as the bench for FC Cincinnati. I mean, maybe not in training and, you know, situations. He trains with some of the best players in the world, but, you know, in terms of game reps, you just, you know, as a goalkeeper, that's so important for confidence to know that, like, you know, when you let one in training, that's one thing, but you let one in the game, that means everything. So yeah, you know, I think, and Turner, I think, is someone that could, you know, eventually make the move, at some point too. He's got the European passport, and I think that'll open up some doors, particularly with how he's been playing.
Yeah, nobody wants to be sitting on the bench, that's for sure. Okay, let's go to left back. For me, it's simply going to be Anthony Robinson.
Yeah, no question. Sam Vines is climbing the ladder a little bit. You know, I think Greg Berhalter liked him a lot in the Gold Cup, but yeah, Robinson just has been doing very, very well with the national team, club and country right now. It's his spot to lose.
All right, the two center back positions, who do they go to? Miles Robinson obviously has been somebody I think we've all wonderfully loved watching blossom. Who does he get partnered with? Richards, McKenzie, Zimmerman? What do you think?
I don't think it's going to be McKenzie. I don't see McKenzie playing much this window. I think it's going to come down to the other three, Zimmerman, Robinson, Richards. I think it's going to be Robinson and Richards. You know, I think that even though Richards had a poor game against Bayern Munich and then rode the bench a little bit for Hoffenheim after that, I still think that's a, you know, that's a good call. The only thing that, you know, Walker, though, I don't know. It's just, I think his foot speed might not be there in a game where Mexico has a lot of it. And Zimmerman brings you some set piece threats in the air, and he's very good in the air, but I think you got to have to be good against these dribblers that Mexico has. And I think it'll be Richards and Robinson.
Yeah, they'll have to deal with Funes Mori as well, the Argentine striker that's now naturalized for Mexico. Okay, the right back position, DeAndre Yedlin, Reggie Cannon, Joe Scally. Joe Scally's one that U.S. fans don't know as well. Who do you think gets it?
I don't think it's going to be Reggie. Joe Scally's been unbelievable in the Bundesliga this year at 18 years old, but I can't see a guy getting his first cap and his first call up in a World Cup qualifier against Mexico. That I think they're going to ride with DeAndre Yedlin there just for experience, and DeAndre's been playing pretty well too.
Agree with you 100%. Let's go to three midfielders. How about in the six, Tyler Adams, Kellen Acosta, Busio? I mean, I think that's pretty obvious it's going to be Adams, don't you?
Oh, of course it's going to be Tyler. You know, the only concern now is hoping Tyler and McKennie don't get yellow cards, because they're both playing on yellow, and then they would be suspended against Jamaica. But, you know, just to make this a sweep, I think two of the three midfielders will be Weston McKennie and Tyler Adams, and then it's just a little bit of a debate on the third.
Yunus Musa, Sebastian Legette, who do you think gets it? Busio, Roldan? Who gets that third midfield slot then if you say it's McKennie and Adams?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Gianluca Busio, and that's going to be a surprise. But Berhalter's been saying some really positive things about Busio. He says he's adapted to Serie A better than anyone else he's ever seen. He's a push for starting minutes. And Musa, he played well off the bench in his last game with Valencia, but, you know, he hasn't had a great season for Valencia, to be honest with you. You know, his defense has been suspect. You know, he's a guy, Busio and Musa are very different players. I mean, one problem solves with dribbling, that's Musa. The other one problem solves with his passing, and that's Busio. You know, and I think they're going to go with Busio right now. He's more in form, and Musa could be a really good dynamite option off the bench, running at some tired defenders.
Right. We're talking to Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now, great friend of the show here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm. A couple more minutes here with him. So I guess we kind of settled on, you've settled on Adams, McKinney, and Busio in midfield. I'm curious to see what the selection is going to be. This is great stuff, though, to be able to look here and look at the depth of this roster and see the challenges where, you know, if we go back in history, the lineup would pick itself. So let's go to the striker position, and we're going to have to go right to Christian Pulisic, who's back. Greg Berhalter has said he would get limited minutes if he plays against Mexico. Do you think he gets a start?
Oh, boy, that's a question for the medical staff. You know, I recall one conversation that people wanted to know that people had right after the Champions League, and only a couple days later, the U.S. national team was playing against Honduras in the Nations League semifinal. And people ask, well, is Christian going to be able to start against Honduras only a couple days after playing in the Champions League final? And Greg Berhalter's quick response was, and I believe I'm getting this quote right, you try telling Christian Pulisic he's not going to start against Honduras on Thursday. And that's, and I could see the quote being, you tell Christian Pulisic he's not starting against Mexico on Friday. I think it might just be so demand, like I just think Christian Pulisic might just insert himself into the lineup. Would not surprise me if he starts. You know, I think if not, it's going to go to Weah, but mark me down. I think it'll be Christian.
Other choices up front: Aronson, Ferreira, Pepe, Weah. As you mentioned, Roldan could play wide. So can Areola. Okay, so let's go. So we're assuming Pulisic would be kind of on the left as an inverted winger coming inside. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the number nine position. Who can it be other than Ricardo Pepe at this point?
No one. It's got to be Ricardo Pepe. I mean, the only backup options are Tim Weah, who doesn't really play there very much, unless it's a 4-4-2 at Lille, and or Christian Pulisic or Jesus Ferreira. As distant players, as their second position or third position. So with that said, I think it's going to be Pepe, and I don't think it's anyone else is even close to being in the running for that starting spot.
Speaking of Ricardo Pepe, and we're talking to Brian Ciaretta of American Soccer Now, where do you think his future lies?
I think, I think it's going to be a $12 to $15 million transfer, which opens the door to maybe not having it be an elite club. I think he's done at Dallas. My guess would be it's going to be a Bundesliga team, but that's just a guess at this point. It's a question of whether or not they can have the semantics of that Dallas Bayern deal that they can get beyond. I hope they can, but he's got a big future abroad, and anything else is just guesswork right now. But I think he's going to go to one of the top leagues, one of the big five leagues in Europe.
How can we not like Ricardo Pepe? So I'm going to flip this a little bit here. Okay, that's great business for FC Dallas, but they seem to sell these guys before they win anything. They're already going over to Europe. At the end of the day, you have to say, what's the end game in Dallas? Because if I'm an FC Dallas fan and I see these guys being shipped out and sold constantly, I'm going, are we really competing to win an MLS Cup here? And I'd have to say right now, the answer is no.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you can say about that is that I think that they made the statement with firing Luchi Gonzalez and making some big changes that maybe they're going to hang on to these guys so long. Now, look, I don't think any MLS team with Ricardo Pepe with the season he's had would be able to hang on to him. But it's the other ones like the Tanner Tessmans and Reggie Cannons and even Brian Reynolds, especially Brian Reynolds, who seem to go over there without accomplishing much as by way of being a starter in this league, where you have to question, well, what's the end game here? And Justin Che looks like he's going over, and that kind of fits that build. Not really. Reggie Cannon's not really an example of that. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to start rolling back this thing. They could have sold Justin Che earlier in the year, but I think they elected to keep him a season for that purpose. But, I think they're going to start asking themselves some questions, how they can find that balance between selling versus winning and then selling. It's a balance that you have to strike, and they've been on too far on one side of it, no question about it. But I think that'll change over time.
Yeah, you can't be relevant when you're constantly sending your best players away that fans have become accustomed to being with. I mean, I get the buying and selling thing, you know, to Dallas for that, but we'll see. All right, the third striker position out wide, I'm assuming it's going to be Tim Weah. You've got Paul Arriola, Christian Roldan, or other options. Brendan Aaronson, why would Aaronson not get a start over Tim Weah?
I think Brendan Aaronson will get a start over Tim Weah. I think Brendan's been very, very effective, way more effective for the U.S. team. You know, I think Weah beats you with his athleticism. He looks like a bench option that's going to be tough to contain in the second half. But I think Brendan Aaronson's locked him. I don't say lock because, you know, there's not many locks on this team. But I think Brendan Aaronson is a likely starter for whatever game the U.S. team you know, has. So, you know, I think Weah's, you know, bench option. And to be fair, he's, you know, he's in and out of the lineup at Lille a little bit. So, you know, I think Brendan Aaronson brings with you a little bit more momentum and a little bit more, you know, inform ability right now. And I think the team, you know, he's adapted well into the team and the team plays well with him on the field.
Care to give us a prediction on a result? Have some fun.
Yeah. I'm not going to go with Dosa Zero. I'm going to go with 1-0 US, but wow. This any kind of result, nothing's going to surprise me in this game because I go in expecting the unexpected.
So we're going to pull a clean sheet on Chucky Lozano and Irving Lozano. And we're going to do a clean sheet on Funes Mori as well. Huh? I like that. That's confidence. I like it, Brian.
Yeah. I mean, you know, two wins, you know, it's kind of the Gold Cup was very good for the U.S. team and they play great defense. So, I mean, why not?
Good prediction, Brian, as always. Great thoughts here on this. It was fun to go through the lineup with you. Thanks for coming on the program. It's Brian Ciaretta, American Soccer Now. Brian, thanks as always for the great insight. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, man.
All right, that's Brian Ciaretta. We're going to take a break here. Break is going to be brought to you by Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. It's on Fondren. You get over there, Jan Christensen and Company, the best in modern contemporary furniture. They've got all the stressless lounges. Rest assured, you get one of those, you're going to have a hard time getting out of it. It's so comfortable. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. This is Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we've got to listen to this a little bit. This is a band called The Professionals. I think you'll know the time period of this, too. Obviously, the genre of music. Here we go. All right, there we go. All right, let's welcome you back. Hope you enjoyed those interviews there with Brian Ciaretta. Always does a wonderful job talking about the United States roster and potential lineup against Mexico. This game will be in Cincinnati in that gorgeous new TQL Stadium. This portion of the program brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down to Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, ask for Justin, ask for Scott. Ask for Stephen Prather, and get down there and get yourself in a vehicle. They got a number of different new vehicles in there, 5 Series, 7 Series, X5s, obviously SUVs, one of the hot things. They will take you through sales, service, finance. It'll be done very easily. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Christmas is coming. I lease right now. I've bought from them before, but Advantage BMW Midtown has been incredible when it comes to customer service as well. That's the other great thing. If you lease, you get all the customer service, or buy. The customer service is something that's great, especially if you're not somebody who has the time or is good repairing a car. So Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of this show. All right, let me take you into the Mexico roster. So in goal, they've got three goalkeepers, obviously, on this roster under Tata Martino, who, by the way, is not going to want, as I mentioned in the Brian Chiaretta interview. I mean, the U.S. right now, all right, we're the kings of CONCACAF, I guess, because we won the Nations League and we won the Gold Cup. But Mexico's number one in World Cup qualifying right now. So on their roster, three goalkeepers, Rodolfo Cota of León, Guillermo Ochoa of Club America, Alfredo Talavera of Unam Pumas. Defenders, Nestor Araujo of Celta Vigo in Spain, which, by the way, that was the team that was down 3-0 to Barcelona and came back and drew them 3-3. Jesus Gallardo of Monterrey. Monterrey's got a number of players on the roster, including Cesar Montes, Julio Cesar Dominguez of Cruz Azul, Hector Moreno of Monterrey, who just came back from Qatar, made the move to Monterrey. We've had him on this show. Hector's exceptional. Luis Chaca Rodriguez of Tigres, Osvaldo Rodriguez of León, Jorge Sanchez of Club America, and Johan Vasquez of Genoa in Italy. Any thoughts on the U.S.-Mexico rosters? Call in now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Let's go on to the Mexico midfield. Nine players selected by Tata Martino. Edson Alvarez of Ajax in the Netherlands, Sebastian Cordova of Club America, Roberto Alvarado of Cruz Azul, Andreas Guardado, the veteran, Real Betis in Spain. You know, an interesting story. Andreas Guardado was a little kid, and I've told this before on this show. Back in the day when I was involved with player development, we had a wonderful arrangement with Efrain Flores of Atlas. Atlas, remember? Oswaldo Sanchez, Pavel Pardo, Rafa Marquez. These were all guys that came through Efrain Flores' system at Atlas when Ricardo Lavolpe was the head coach. Well, they would bring their Atlas bus to Houston, filled with, you know, these little teams, and we would homestay them. I'd spend time with Efrain Flores, talking to him about player development and what they do with their players. And then, of course, we would go back down there and reciprocate. And Andreas Guardado played out on a field in the Bear Creek area as a little guy. And I remember they came off the bus, and there was a woman on the bus. And Efrain Flores said to me, said, "Oh, that's one of my little guy's mothers." Well, it was Andreas Guardado's mother who wouldn't allow him to go on the bus alone on the long drive to Houston. So she came on the bus. So it's a pretty cool story. And of course, Andreas Guardado's gone on to huge things for Mexico and in his club career. Orbelin Pineda of Cruz Azul, Charlie Rodriguez, Charlie of Monterrey, Luis Romo of Cruz Azul, Hector Herrera, again, Atletico Madrid in Spain. So, you know, this is a roster with a lot of experience. Ricardo Angulo, nicknamed Canelo, of Chivas. And the five up front, now, there's some firepower here. Tecatito Corona of Porto in Portugal. Funes Mori of Monterrey, we talked about him. Raul Jimenez of Wolves in England, thank goodness he's come back from that serious head injury. Henry Martin of Club America. And Chucky Lozano of Napoli in Italy. That's pretty formidable, those strikers. But this is a very experienced Mexico. I don't think there's any question. A win in the United States will be something that they're looking for outside of just the whole World Cup qualifying thing. I think there's a bit of pride, as always, at stake in these games. This should be exciting. It's on ESPN. Mexico currently leads the standings. They've got 14 points, four wins. They haven't lost, two draws. The U.S. has got three wins, one loss, and two draws on 11. Sitting good going into this round. Canada, I think, is now moved itself clearly into the top three in the region here. It, you know, team that contains Alphonso Davies, they're a threat now. There is no looking past Canada, and there's no looking past anybody in this, quite frankly, but I think Canada has flexed its muscles a little bit here, and certainly Alphonso Davies has got a piece in that. They have 10 points. They're 2-0-4. And then you got Panama, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Jamaica, and Honduras. Jamaica has not been impressive at all. And Honduras, wow, what can you say? Normally a threat. Haven't won a game yet. So they got a negative 8 goal differential too. So they're really struggling. As I mentioned Honduras, I think of Albert Elise, by the way, who with Bordeaux in a 3-1 loss scored against Paris Saint-Germain. So think about that. Albert Elise left Houston, got to Portugal, scored 8 goals for Boa Vista, made a very quick move to French League One, and has scored against PSG. And I think there were a lot of people here in Houston, quite frankly, who gave him some real criticism. And I guess it's because he's, you know, part of it's because he was the Dynamo's best player, most dangerous player. Remarkable athleticism. Remarkable. And has honed his game and was always very focused. The difference between him and Ramel Kyoto to me was always, well, one was Elise is younger, but two was just the focus. And for a young guy, I thought Albert had more maturity. Like, if you looked at the two, you said, yeah, one's going places. One's going to probably stay put, even though that one has some very good qualities. This guy, from a mental perspective, Albert Elise, has got the edge there. And look, Fenerbahce had a lot of interest in him, and I talked directly somebody very high up about Albert Elise. They asked me for my opinion, and I told them that he was a guy that they should acquire. They would be getting him at a good price. And I also mentioned that I thought he would be a good fit for Turkey, even though a lot of people say culturally it could be difficult. It's physical. And they told me that their scout said he was soft, and I said he's soft. In what way? Mentally? Physically? I said, nah, I think you guys got this one wrong. I don't know, you know, I've seen him more than you. I don't know where you're getting soft. Guy's aggressive, powerful. He's young, and he's succeeding. So it's a very good thing to see. It's exciting. Hey, I wanted to mention, first of all, congratulations to Diego Bocanegra and the U of H women. They're probably pretty hurt right now because they did not get an at-large bid to the NCAA Women's Tournament. And look, every time these things come out, and they had a very, very good season. I think it was the best season in U of H history on the women's side. Every time these things occur, there are teams that get slighted. I mean, there's no avoiding it, okay? You got conference champions that get into this that have no business being in there ahead of U of H and other teams. So it's not a perfect science. You're going to see a couple teams get blown out in the first round that really shouldn't have been there. I'm sure that a lot of times the bigger names and the teams that have a little bit of history are probably going to get the nod over others. But I feel bad for U of H not getting into this. And actually, Texas having to go on the road against SMU is a rough one as well. It's a real rough one. All right, I didn't even get to the MLS playoffs and get to break you in on that. I'll just quickly hit you with the West before we go to break. Portland, Minnesota, I see Portland moving on. They'll play Colorado. I see Portland upsetting Colorado. How about that? Colorado's got that couple weeks off. I don't like it. It's not a reward for winning the conference. Sporting Kansas City, Vancouver. I got SKC jumping through, even though people think Vancouver will have some momentum. And then Seattle and RSL. Seattle will get there. I see Seattle getting through. It'll be Seattle and Portland to go to the MLS Cup. All right, we'll take a break. More to come here, including coming up next. It is Paul Holliker, the Dynamo head of the Academy. He will join me live for down at the Houston Sports Park. Try it again. Go on and do it. Do it now.
97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on. Great show tonight. A big thank you to Jordi Suñé in Barcelona, Spain. Also to Brian Chiaretta of American Soccer Now. And Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, as we come back. All right. Straight from the fields down at the Houston Sports Park. He is the Dynamo Academy director, Paul Holliker, joining us now. Paul, thank you very much for coming on straight from the fields.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
Are you a Guns N' Roses fan, by the way?
I am. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. All right, let's get into it. Let's talk a couple of things here. We had a caller earlier tonight and people talking about, you know, the academy pushing players through, noting that other teams around MLS have really moved a lot of guys through, and they're not just roster guys. They're guys that are making a difference for their team. We saw Juan Castilla get his debut as a young man, a 17-year-old, a wonderful moment. Give us a little projection on when in the future you think that may really turn for the Dynamo. You've only been on the job 3 years. So when do you think that begins to turn for this club? Because we know it's a vital element in putting a roster together.
Yeah. No, I think it takes a bit of time. You know, whenever you're developing players, you know, you look at, you know, the amount of opportunities that they get, and now Juan Castilla has just started those opportunities at the professional level. So if you come in to, you know, from the academy, you know, I think Juan was started here when he was 8 years old and you know, came back at 15, 16, you know, but he signed his pro contract at 16 years old. He's not ready yet, you know, to jump on that field in his individual case and, you know, and beat out, you know, seasoned first team professionals. But he got his first debut, you know, and he has opportunities now to get more of those. And also what I think is really, really good, Glenn, is that we're going to be starting a U23 or a low division or a reserve team, which is an opportunity for these young guys to get games, because they really need to play games, you know, wherever that is, whether it's the first team or in this reserve league, and get 20, 30, 40 games under their belt as professionals. That's very much needed.
Paul Holliker joining us here. You beat me to the punch, Paul, because that was the next question, was about the under-23 team. I think it's coached by Kevin Bundy. You've started kind of a shortened schedule this year, but next year it goes a little bit more full-blown. This is a vital area for you to get players' minutes and games, as you just mentioned. So can you give us a little bit more enlightenment about what the league will be like next year and what people can look forward to seeing and the opportunity that these young guys are going to get?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a professional league. It's going to be kind of a second division or a reserve league, you know, as close to the first team environment as possible. So you're going to be looking at, a sizable budget, you know, great commitment by the league to put this league on and the clubs. So there's going to be, you know, roster composition of you know, top academy prospects, first team players, maybe veterans from around the league or top, maybe international prospects. So it's going to be another platform that we've never had as a club. And this is what's so exciting. You know, we did have our arrangement with RGV for a number of years, but as you know, that was a difficult situation for us, being so far away, that we were never really able to effectively push our academy players into that next step environment. But with this new league coming in, I mean, we are literally in-house. You know, we're going to be, right here with our academy players getting pushed on into that environment. So, yeah, it's very exciting. It's something that we've never had, and we feel it's going to be a massive opportunity for good young academy players to continue to develop and become pros.
Now, when will these games, I mean, have they gotten to the point where they're telling you when these games may be, what day of the week? Is this something where the Dynamo are going to try and you guys are going to try to get an environment there so that there's some fans there? Or are these games going to be played just in front of coaches? Because, you know, that element of fans there is something good that the USL did bring. Granted, I don't know how you can do player development when you got a team down in the Rio Grande Valley. That never was a winning situation for you guys. So what do you think that's going to look like?
Yeah, no, I think it will. You know, I think we've kind of done our trial run this last fall here, and it's been really good. We've played at the Avila Stadium. We haven't really promoted them yet, Glenn, but I can see us promoting these games and having fans. You know, having fans coming out and seeing these top young prospects. So, I think it'll be really good.
Yeah, what a great environment that is over there. And people can go over there and basically look at what might be a future first team player. And then they say to themselves, wow, you know, I remember the day I was down at a buy-in and saw this kid debut.
Exactly. Yeah, you come and see a player like, you know, Andre Gattau, who was just in the U-17 national team camp. You know, we can project him getting his first jump into these environments. But the league is going to be ramping up in the new year. So we expect to know a lot more, you know, by January of new year. And the league is supposed to be starting around March as far as games, competitive games. So it's just around the corner. So we've been preparing for that. You know, we've started to formulate our staff, you know, our team operations, all that kind of stuff to get ready. And you know, this is just it's an amazing part of our infrastructure that we've never had before. So it's going to be fantastic for player development and player opportunity.
Paul Holliker joining us, the head of the Dynamo Academy. So Tab Ramos came out recently and he said, we are developing the same type of player, a type of player that is skilled, but may have a tough time at the pro level with the physical nature of the league. He said it was kind of the same type of player. And I saw that even prior to you coming to Houston, that the player did look very similar. Now, you mentioned Andre Gattau, I think, and that was one Tab mentioned, as a different type of athlete. Tab would go on to say, you know, the development of center backs, wingers, differing players was necessary. How do you feel about that?
No, I feel Tab was correct with that. You know, we definitely need, you know, to be a top player. You know, there's all sorts of different types of top players that can make it. The ones obviously that make a big impact in the league quite quickly, these young players have a really strong physical quality. So they're physically quick, they're explosive, they're fast, they're agile. You know, you think of the Alphonso Davies or you know, a number of players, right? And you know, we want to have those players inside of our academy, inside of our club. So, you know, we're looking for those players. We feel like we have some players, but you know, we're not just looking for players that are physically gifted. You have to be intelligent. You have to be composed. You want to be a highly technical player. You know, you want to be a competitive player, a self-motivated player. So, there's a lot into it, but I think we have players inside of our academy that have got, you know, good, strong physical profiles as well.
Are you looking harder for the physical profile?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think scouting is a critical part of being a club. You want to have players like that. So, you know, you can look throughout Greater Houston, and if there's players that have got a really nice physical quality, then you want to get to know them and start to develop them as early as possible. So, yeah, we definitely feel that's an important part of our player identification.
Pat Onstad's the new GM. Everybody's really excited. Everybody's excited about his no-nonsense nature. Have you had an opportunity to at least have some initial conversation with the GM, Pat Onstad?
Yes, I have. I've had a couple of really nice conversations with him. He's going to be fantastic for the club. You know, I think you know, first and foremost, he's just a really, really good person. You know, that's the first sense that I get. You know, I think he's very smart, intelligent. And obviously, he's got a winning pedigree. You know, he's won here with the Houston Dynamo and most recently with Columbus. So, no, I'm really excited to work with him. You know, I really love, Matt Jordan and Tab, and you know, I have a massive amount of respect for them. But you know, this is kind of how it is in this business. There's changes, but I think, I think our club ownership is very exciting. I think Pat's going to be very exciting and positive for the club.
Paul Holliker joining us, head of the Dynamo Academy. He's been in Houston a little over 3 years, I think, if I'm correct. Let's talk a little bit about Pat, because I did a 30-minute interview with him, Paul, the other day, and he was very adamant about not competing with the youth soccer community. He cited what they did in Columbus and about, sort of bringing the community together and extending the olive branch and trying to make this a real community effort. With everybody involved in a heartfelt way, and in a way that you create a lot of goodwill and trust, which will then lead to more people in the stands, more merchandise bought, and more people behind you. Do you foresee? One, did you hear the interview? And two, did you hear what he said about Columbus, which is a similar model to Seattle? And do you foresee any changes in the way you guys address the youth community?
Well, I did hear the interview, and actually, I think we're actually making really, really great inroads into the community, Glenn. I think there's a lot of positive inroads there. You know, we work with dozens and dozens of clubs in really, really positive ways, helping support how they develop players, coach education. All sorts of different ways. So I think we've been making a ton of inroads that way. I also think that we're seeing the effects of that with a lot of clubs really, supportive of the academy and supportive of developing players and working with us. So I think it's been really positive. There's been a lot of good work that's been going on.
No doubt you're working, and no doubt you're out there. Tell me about Dynamo Dash and what that means, and how you guys, are running that end of the business, because, that is an area that some will say to oppose what you just said, not really oppose, but to give the other side. There's an awful lot of clubs too that feel very threatened and intimidated by the Dynamo.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. You know, there's big clubs in Houston. There's three or four really, really big clubs, and they compete against each other on the field. But I think that there's also a lot of opportunities to support each other. So whether it's doing coach education, whether it's just getting on the phone with people and talking to them. At the end of the day, we're there to help the game grow in Houston. So we personally, we have an affiliation with Dynamo Dash Youth. We have an affiliation with, Total Football Club, which is a small developmental club of about 300 kids. But we work with literally dozens of clubs, in a program called Partners in Development. And, we're open to working with every club in a really, really positive way. So, on our side, I think it's a matter of continuing to do what we're doing, actually.
Paul Holliker joining us. Yep.
Yeah.
Paul Holliker, head of the Dynamo Academy, joining us. So Don Gemmel works with you guys with Dynamo Dash. What is it he exactly does with you guys? Because I know him from the Texas Rush. The Rush aren't around anymore. What does Don Gemmel do for the Houston Dynamo and the Dynamo Academy?
Well, I think probably there's a number of different things, but I think probably the biggest one that we collaborate on is a program called the Catalyst Foundation, which is a program that's focused on younger players, U10s, U11s, and U12s. And so we have a technical partnership where we we develop players in those ages in different parts of the city. You know, we had a kind of a training invitational tonight where we had 30, 40 players come into the Houston Sports Park, all U-12 players, and we just trained them.
So Don coaches, he coaches them, or what is Don doing?
No, Don is he's the technical director of that club. No, it's with the Dynamo Dash youth coaches and the TFC coaches and other coaches from different clubs as well.
Okay, the last one I would ask you because we're on a hard break, Paul, to end this. But thank you for coming on. Last one I would ask you: wouldn't you wanna in the future, much like Seattle's model in Columbus, get out of competing for the competitive players and set up a system ultimately that would be a little bit more organic, where the clubs would then, with a trusting relationship, then push those players towards the Dynamo?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what we've done with the Catalyst, Glenn, you know, where we used to have our academy here used to go all the way down to U11. We don't do that anymore. We have a program that starts, our academy starts at U13, but we have technical partnerships, much like Seattle does in their discovery program where the kids come at U14. Ours come in at U13, and we work with partner clubs, just like Seattle does, before they come into the academy. And I think that's a positive way to do it.
All right, Paul,
thanks
very much for coming on tonight. We appreciate it. Thanks for doing it, coming off the field. And we'll continue. Let's get you on again another time, and let's continue to talk player development. That's Paul Holliker of the Dynamo Academy. Paul, thanks.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, that does it for tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to all of our guests. Remember, ESPN975.com for the podcast. Andrew Carlson producing tonight. Wonderful job, Andrew. You get 10 out of 10. I get 7 out of 10. For all you that tuned in and listened tonight, thank you so much. We will see you again next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. On behalf of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor, remember, soccer matters.
Sports is ESPN 97.5.